Диск 8. Сейчас вы будете выполнять задание по аудированию. Каждый текст прозвучит 2 раза. После 1 и 2 прослушивания у вас будет время для выполнения и проверки заданий. Все паузы включены в аудиозапись. Остановка и повторное воспроизведение аудиозаписи не предусмотрены. По окончании выполнения всего раздела «Аудирование» перенесите свои ответы в бланк ответов номер 1. Задание 1. Вы услышите 6 высказываний. Установите соответствие между высказываниями каждого говорящего «эй», «эф» и утверждениями, данными в списке 1-7. Используйте каждое утверждение, обозначенное соответствующей цифрой, только 1 раз. В задании есть 1 лишнее утверждение. Вы услышите запись 2. Занесите свои ответы в таблицу. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start. Speaker A.
I don't think I've been sleeping enough for the last couple of years or so. Why? It's not like I spend my nights studying or doing my homework. Usually I just scroll the posts of my friends on social media or watch a new episode of whatever series I've found in the net. Doctors say it's very bad because the screen emits something which prevents people from falling asleep. It's a horrible habit of mine, and I don't really know how to get rid of it.
Speaker B.
Sleep is a top priority for me. I strongly believe that a person can't function well if they don't get enough sleep. If I haven't slept well during the night for some reason, I feel it right away. I start feeling dizzy and get headaches and become irritable. I find it hard to concentrate or perform my daily routine. That's why I'm always in bed at 10 p.m. sharp and get up at 6 or 7 in the morning, and I sleep in a dark room and have a comfortable pillow.
Speaker C.
Being young, I don't really pay too much attention to whether I've slept well or badly. My parents say that sleeping well is important, and they feel bad if they haven't had a good night's sleep. Me, I can spend the whole night clubbing with my friends and feel fresh and energetic in the morning. I also like reading or watching films at night, but not every night, of course. I suppose it's age-related. Maybe when I'm 40, I'll be like them.
Speaker D.
I find it difficult to fall asleep at night, although I have a generally healthy sleeping routine. The thing is, I tend to think over the day before falling asleep and analyze it. And then I think something like, what if? Or, if only I... And I think how many mistakes I've made and become nervous. And as a result, I can't fall asleep. I think I have to take up yoga or learn any other relaxation techniques because I sometimes get nervous even before going to bed.
Speaker E.
Everybody says I'm a lucky person because I can fall asleep anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter for me if it's noisy in the room or if somebody's snoring or whatever. I play sports and I have training sessions 7 days a week, which means I'm usually very tired by the end of the day, and I sleep like a log, really. A lot of my friends say they find it difficult to fall asleep, and my parents say they are counting sheep at night, but me, never.
Speaker F.
I think it's hard for people who live in big cities to sleep well. Cities are too noisy. Traffic produces a lot of noise. Your neighbours can turn out noisy too. And there are a lot of lights everywhere. When I'm in a big city, I can never sleep properly. I live in the countryside and I enjoy peace and quiet there. There's no noise. When my relatives from London are staying with us, They always say they sleep very well here, in the countryside, and I can see why.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you will hear the texts again. Speaker A.
I don't think I've been sleeping enough for the last couple of years or so. Why? It's not like I spend my nights studying or doing my homework. Usually I just scroll the posts of my friends on social media or watch a new episode of whatever series I've found in the net. Doctors say it's very bad because the screen emits something which prevents people from falling asleep. It's a horrible habit of mine, and I don't really know how to get rid of it.
Speaker B.
Sleep is a top priority for me. I strongly believe that a person can't function well if they don't get enough sleep. If I haven't slept well during the night for some reason, I feel it right away. I start feeling dizzy and get headaches and become irritable. I find it hard to concentrate or perform my daily routine. That's why I'm always in bed at 10 p.m. sharp and get up at 6 or 7 in the morning, and I sleep in a dark room and have a comfortable pillow.
Speaker C. Being young, I don't really pay too much attention to whether I've slept well or badly. My parents say that sleeping well is important, and they feel bad if they haven't had a good night's sleep. Me, I can spend the whole night clubbing with my friends and feel fresh and energetic in the morning. I also like reading or watching films at night, but not every night, of course. I suppose it's age-related. Maybe when I'm 40, I'll be like them. Speaker D.
I find it difficult to fall asleep at night, although I have a generally healthy sleeping routine. The thing is, I tend to think over the day before falling asleep and analyse it. And then I think something like, what if? Or, if only I... And I think how many mistakes I've made and become nervous. And as a result, I can't fall asleep. I think I have to take up yoga or learn any other relaxation techniques because I sometimes get nervous even before going to bed.
Speaker E.
Everybody says I'm a lucky person because I can fall asleep anywhere, anytime. It doesn't matter for me if it's noisy in the room or if somebody's snoring or whatever. I play sports and I have training sessions 7 days a week, which means I'm usually very tired by the end of the day, and I sleep like a log, really. A lot of my friends say they find it difficult to fall asleep, and my parents say they are counting sheep at night, but me, never.
Speaker F.
I think it's hard for people who live in big cities to sleep well. Cities are too noisy. Traffic produces a lot of noise. Your neighbours can turn out noisy too. And there are a lot of lights everywhere. When I'm in a big city, I can never sleep properly. I live in the countryside and I enjoy peace and quiet there. There's no noise. When my relatives from London are staying with us, they always say they sleep very well here, in the countryside, and I can see why.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 2. Вы услышите диалог. Определите, какие из приведенных утверждений A, G соответствуют содержанию текста. 1. True. Какие не соответствуют? 2. False. И о чем в тексте не сказано? То есть на основании текста нельзя дать ни положительного, ни отрицательного ответа. 3. Not stated. Занесите номер выбранного вами варианта ответа в таблицу. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 20 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданием.
Now we are ready to start.
Hello, Mary. I haven't seen you for ages. How are you?
Hi, Jack. It's so good to see you. It's been a year since I last saw you.
When did you come back?
I arrived in London a week ago and stayed there at my aunt's place for a couple of days and then took a train to Birmingham.
So, how was your exchange programme? Which country did you go to?
Oh, Jack, I stayed in Russia for a year and I absolutely loved it.
Russia? Well, it's great. I mean, it's exotic. Not many people here in Birmingham can boast of having visited Russia.
Well, Jack, I chose Russia not to show off, but to study Russian culture more deeply. You know, I've always been interested in Russia. I have Russian roots. I was even given my name after my great-grandmother Maria, who emigrated from Russia in the 19th century.
I didn't know that. So did you stay in Moscow?
No, I just visited Moscow as a tourist. But I stayed in a small provincial town. However, the school I went to was great, and I didn't have many language problems. Everybody seemed to at least understand English, and that was convenient.
How did you find Russian people?
Oh, they are simply amazing. They are very friendly and hospitable. If you are their guest, they'll treat you to the most delicious pastry you can imagine. They seem to be quite reserved at first, but as you get to know them better, you understand that they are very friendly.
That's great. Did you travel much around Russia?
Yes, I did. I can't say it's very cheap, though. Still, it's affordable. So I visited Moscow, St. Petersburg, the Golden Ring, and I also went to Sochi with my host family.
Sochi? It is the city which hosted the Winter Olympics of 2014.
Yes, that's right.
Your Russian must have improved greatly.
I hope so. My host parents said I had done a great job learning Russian. I shared the room with their daughter, Anna, whose passion is English, so we were able to learn from each other.
You must invite them to the UK.
I did. They hope to get their visas and visit us for Christmas. My mother is looking forward to meeting them already. Look, Jack, I must go. See you later.
See you.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you'll hear the text again.
Hello, Mary. I haven't seen you for ages. How are you?
Hi, Jack. It's so good to see you. It's been a year since I last saw you.
When did you come back?
I arrived in London a week ago and stayed there at my aunt's place for a couple of days and then took a train to Birmingham.
So, how was your exchange programme? Which country did you go to?
Oh, Jack, I stayed in Russia for a year and I absolutely loved it.
Russia? Well, it's great. I mean, it's exotic. Not many people here in Birmingham can boast of having visited Russia.
Well, Jack, I chose Russia not to show off, but to study Russian culture more deeply. You know, I've always been interested in Russia. I have Russian roots. I was even given my name after my great-grandmother Maria, who emigrated from Russia in the 19th century.
I didn't know that. So did you stay in Moscow?
No, I just visited Moscow as a tourist. But I stayed in a small provincial town. However, the school I went to was great, and I didn't have many language problems. Everybody seemed to at least understand English, and that was convenient.
How did you find Russian people?
Oh, they are simply amazing. They are very friendly and hospitable. If you are their guest, they'll treat you to the most delicious pastry you can imagine. They seem to be quite reserved at first, but as you get to know them better, you understand that they are very friendly.
That's great. Did you travel much around Russia?
Yes, I did. I can't say it's very cheap, though. Still, it's affordable. So I visited Moscow, St. Petersburg, the Golden Ring, and I also went to Sochi with my host family.
Sochi? It is the city which hosted the Winter Olympics of 2014.
Yes, that's right.
Your Russian must have improved greatly.
I hope so. My host parents said I had done a great job learning Russian. I shared the room with their daughter, Anna, whose passion is English, so we were able to learn from each other.
You must invite them to the UK.
I did. They hope to get their visas and visit us for Christmas. My mother is looking forward to meeting them already. Look, Jack, I must go. See you later.
See you.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers.
Задание 3.9. Вы услышите интервью. В заданиях 3.9 запишите в поле ответа цифру 1, 2 или 3, соответствующую выбранному вами варианту ответа. Вы услышите запись дважды. У вас есть 50 секунд, чтобы ознакомиться с заданиями.
Now we are ready to start.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today in our weekly program, Hollywood Secrets, we continue to explore the world of filmmaking. In our studio, we have Pamela Smith, who is a world-renowned mythologist, speaker, consultant, writer, award-winning producer, and director with over 30 years of experience on features, TV series, commercials, documentaries, corporate and military films. Her credits and clients include Paramount, Disney, and Universal. Hello, Pamela.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me here today.
As far as I know, you have recently published the book Symbols, Images, Codes in Visual Media. There you discuss how powerful this silent form of communication is. Can you tell us about it?
Communication is the most important aspect of human interaction, and it is accomplished in a number of ways, from utilitarian to artistic. Some of the most primitive, yet still most effective modes of communication are visual. In our multicultural global village, we speak hundreds of languages and thousands of dialects with diverse and specific cultural backgrounds. How can we communicate effectively across all of these borders? Symbols and images can help us. That's basically what the book is about.
How can it benefit writers?
Because there is no particular rational attachment to them, visuals are a universal language that engages our intuition and imagination. The more consciously you use symbols and images in your stories, the more effective your message will be. Using appropriate visuals will heighten the emotional impact of your story and will connect your audience to the rich stream of meaning that flows through humanity and our arts.
Can you give us a few examples?
Let's see, like how the element of air can be used in films, and their meanings. Air is the very essence of life itself. You can't see it, but you can see its powerful effects. Air is often given godly status. Wind is the messenger of the gods. The random breeze can bring illumination, and the flight of birds spurs inspiration.
So what is your favourite room in your home and outside environment? Can you describe them and tell us why you like them?
My office overlooks a bougainvillea vine, visited by hummingbirds, past a swimming pool, and then to a wall of tall trees and flowering plants. Immersed in the midst of busy Hollywood and the techno world of the web, it is refreshing to look up and out to see peaceful, beautiful nature.
What are some of your current and future projects that you can share with us?
Besides doing consultations and writing on some very interesting client projects, I am also working on two new books about symbols and images. I'll be speaking about them at the Southwest Writers Conference in September, and I'm also teaching online classes on symbols at some universities.
Can you tell us about the Future of Story Conference coming up in Los Angeles on August 27th, and what your role there is?
The conference explores aspects of the art and business of media making offering speeches from the authors, writers, and filmmakers with many years' experience in Hollywood. I'll be on the first panel, developing the story. As a mythologist, I'm pleased to be able to bring the wonderful timeless tools of story to today's writers and filmmakers. We know they really work because we're still telling the stories from hundreds of years ago, from many different cultures.
Thank you, Pamela.
You have 15 seconds to complete the task. Now you'll hear the text again.
Good afternoon, everybody. Today in our weekly program, Hollywood Secrets, we continue to explore the world of filmmaking. In our studio, we have Pamela Smith, who is a world-renowned mythologist, speaker, consultant, writer, award-winning producer, and director with over 30 years of experience on features, TV series, commercials, documentaries, corporate and military films. Her credits and clients include Paramount, Disney, and Universal. Hello, Pamela.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me here today.
As far as I know, you have recently published the book Symbols, Images, Codes in Visual Media. There you discuss how powerful this silent form of communication is. Can you tell us about it?
Communication is the most important aspect of human interaction, and it is accomplished in a number of ways, from utilitarian to artistic. Some of the most primitive yet still most effective modes of communication are visual. In our multicultural global village, we speak hundreds of languages and thousands of dialects with diverse and specific cultural backgrounds. How can we communicate effectively across all of these borders? Symbols and images can help us. That's basically what the book is about.
How can it benefit writers?
Because there is no particular rational attachment to them. Visuals are a universal language that engages our intuition and imagination. The more consciously you use symbols and images in your stories, the more effective your message will be. Using appropriate visuals will heighten the emotional impact of your story and will connect your audience to the rich stream of meaning that flows through humanity and our arts.
Can you give us a few examples?
Let's see, like how the element of air can be used in films and their meanings. Air is the very essence of life itself. You can't see it, but you can see its powerful effects. Air is often given godly status. Wind is the messenger of the gods. The random breeze can bring illumination, and the flight of birds spurs inspiration.
So what is your favourite room in your home and outside environment? Can you describe them and tell us why you like them?
My office overlooks a bougainvillea vine, visited by hummingbirds, past a swimming pool, and then to a wall of tall trees and flowering plants. Immersed in the midst of busy Hollywood and the techno world of the web, it is refreshing to look up and out to see peaceful, beautiful nature.
What are some of your current and future projects that you can share with us?
Besides doing consultations and writing on some very interesting client projects, I am also working on two new books about symbols and images. I'll be speaking about them at the Southwest Writers Conference in September, and I'm also teaching online classes on symbols at some universities.
Can you tell us about the Future of Story Conference coming up in Los Angeles on August 27th, and what your role there is?
The conference explores aspects of the art and business of media making, offering speeches from the authors, writers, and filmmakers with many years' experience in Hollywood. I'll be on the first panel, developing the story. As a mythologist, I'm pleased to be able to bring the wonderful timeless tools of story to today's writers and filmmakers. We know they really work because we're still telling the stories from hundreds of years ago, from many different cultures.
Thank you, Pamela.
This is the end of the task. You now have 15 seconds to check your answers. This is the end of the listening test.
Время, отведенное на выполнение заданий, истекло.